Well, first of all, I wish God's blessings on you all, because you all are His best. Don't ever sell yourself short. You're not seen through the world's eyes, but through the Father's, so you are His best. Last Thursday's fellowship, Reverend Barney Barnhart had George and Leslie share on a testimony on how they were trying to install a water filter onto the faucet, and what should have been simple became slightly difficult. A 5-minute job became a 30 to 35 minute job. They said that the point being is how they didn't go to God first. Been there, done that. Remembering that God is always there. This was a great reminder for us all. And this reminded me of a situation that I'm sure has happened to many of us. Again, are we listening? I know it's happened to me more than once. See if you can relate. We've all had times where we just can't remember where we left something. So, we try things like backtracking to shake up our memory, like going back to a certain room we were in. Sometimes, we try putting things in a chronological order. Let's see, what did I do with it last? In order to jar our remembrance of what it is we're looking for. Or how about this? Sweetheart, do you remember where I left it last? Pause. How about taking time to say these very wise words? Abba, Father, I sure could use your help at this very moment, so I'm asking. And God speaks to you with a small, still voice and says, look on top of the car. And you think to yourself, huh, but I've looked all around my car already. But God just gave you a specific place to look. Are we listening? Voila, you find what you were looking for. Now it's time to say, thank you, Father, for always being there for me and talking to my heart and mind. Amen?
Amen.
Well, before I share God's word tonight, I'd like to play a fun song that makes you want to move your feet. So please enjoy.
About the Bible, and the preacher man in the pulpit preaches the word here and speak. Crowds getting blessed,
hallelujah.
It's helping them live throughout the week. Hear the choir in the choir loft sing,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Walk like a Christian. They stop to pray,
hallelujah,
just like they did at the service. And all the school kids acting out their faith, they love and they witness to their friends. When the buzzer rings,
hallelujah,
they're walking just like a Christian. All the kids in the schoolyard say,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Walk like a Christian. At home, like Corton Boom.
Hallelujah.
The strength of their faith is widely known. If you want to find all the teens, they meet with their Bible study group. They sing and praise.
Hallelujah.
They're knocking the devil for a loop. All the grandparents tell how God's been faithful again and again. They ought to know.
Hallelujah.
They've walked for years like Christians. All the people in the congregation say.
Hallelujah.
Walk like a Christian.
Well, I trust you all will. Bouncing your feet and tapping your toes. So, for tonight's sharing, it's simply titled, What's in a Word? What's in a Word? Our Almighty God and Abba Father uses words with great accuracy and purpose. Also, they don't return unto him void, Isaiah 55:11. I can remember when the one who truly opened up the scriptures to us, Dr. Victor Paul Werewolf, once said, and I quote, he says what he means and means what he says. When using one word or in the context. So tonight I want to look at some of God's adjectives, where he says them and how he uses them. First of all, they modify or describe a noun or pronoun. I would like to give an example of how one of these adjectives can elevate their meanings. So let's go to the scriptures and see how God uses these adjectives. But first, allow me to give an example. Hey Joe, how'd it go? Okay. Or great. Wonderful. Fantastic. Awesome. Even mind-blowing, boom. This also works in the opposite. Again, let's see what Joe's up to. Hey, Joe, how'd it go? So-so. Bad. Diddly. Lousy. Or even horrible. So you can see how words can paint us a mind picture that can really draw on our attention to what's being said. When God speaks, we first have to realize how and why he uses words to communicate what he wants us to know. Sometimes we should dig a little deeper when reading his word. Well, let's see what his word describes using certain of these adjectives. Here, in the verse we're going to look at, there are no less than 6 adjectives in one verse used in pointing to our Almighty God and Father. So if I could have you turn to Revelation 19, verse 6. Revelation 19, 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Absolutely, absolutely. And this is all pointing with the adjectives in this verse to God Almighty. So, when the Father chooses his words, he is using his authorship to communicate with precision and, of course, his love. Now, speaking of adjectives, one of his favorite words seems to be the word good. Used some 655 times, and if it's good enough for him, guess what? It's good enough for us. Can he elevate these words too? Absolutely. But let's look at a few places he saw fit. And the first place we're going to go to is where else? Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Allow me to get there. Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was what? Good. And God divided the light from darkness. So God thought what he did was good. And that's good enough. Now he elevates this word good. And to see this, we're going to go back to the book of Genesis. And we're going to drop down chapter 1, to verse 27. We'll pick it up there. Genesis 1, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Say that 20 times fast. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat or food. Verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was what? Very good. And in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So, it's kind of like when God sees all that he's done, he takes a step back and he is saying to himself, this is turning out really good. Of course it is. It's God Almighty. Mm-hmm. How about Psalms 25:8, please? Psalms 25:8. And we're going to look in, NLT. Psalms 25:8. The Lord is good. And what? The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. And we all have. But who's the source of goodness? God. Almighty God. He tells you he's good and he's shown us that he's good. After this, here's another descriptive adjective, and that's the word unsearchable. So go to Job chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Job chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. So if you're taking score, stop. You're not going to be able to come up with an answer because they're unsearchable. And God just reminding us that that's how it is. He's got a wealth of help and a wealth of unsearchable things. All we have to do is enjoy them. Let's look at Psalms 145:3, please. Psalms 145 and verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is what? Unsearchable. Enjoy his greatness. He's telling you, you're not going to find just how deep it goes, but it's, simply put, unsearchable. Now, We want to keep in mind that God is, in his own way, building us up so that we can know, without a shadow of a doubt, that God is big enough for whatever we have going on. Now, I would have you turn to Romans 11:33, please. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge. Of who? God. Exclamation point. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So when you get to finding out, they're past that. Okay? They're unsearchable. But that's okay. That's our God. That's our Almighty God, our Abba Father. Look at Ephesians 3:8, please. Ephesians 3:8. Ephesians 3:8 reads, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You know, Christ's account is always full. Why? Because it's God that gives him whatever he asks. And you and I should not hesitate to do the same. One last adjective that I'd like to give you tonight, and it's the word kind. Mm-hmm. Kind. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4, please. 1 Corinthians 13:4. You've seen this verse before, but let's check it out. 1 Corinthians 13:4 reads, "Charity suffereth long," it's patient, "and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up." You see, what God is and what God does are the same. This is describing charity, the love of God. In doing so, the word kind modifies the pronoun love. And this refers to God describing his nature and how we are to love. Now let's close in Ephesians 4:32, please. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye," what? Kind, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. To be especially gentle and good. Jesus Christ died for our forgiveness. And we can't forgive over something so insignificant? Compared to forgiving all mankind for all of our sins. Think about it. Putting it into perspective. Here we are commanded to be tender-hearted and to forgive, looking at Jesus. So these, then, are a few of God's adjectives in helping you and I to get the most out of his love letter to us. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunities we have to dig into your word. Not just to read it, Father, or skim over it, but to dig a little deeper and see what these words mean and savor them, Father, whether they're adjectives, nouns, verbs, pronouns, whatever we call them in the English language. Father, they still hold the truth, which is your love and your guidance for our lives. So I pray for everyone tonight, and thank you for them coming on board to hear and learn a little bit more about you, Father. Even if it's something as simple as an adjective, it's still your word. And Father, thank you for amplifying what it is these adjectives are talking about or referring to, because you want us to know with no hesitation, with no uncertainty, what your will is, Father. You place things in your word to help us to learn from, to help us to walk, Father. And we just pray with a very blessed heart for these things that you give us, Father, freely, freely, through Jesus Christ. Amen.